Ministries. I'm putting the trumpet to my mouth, calling for the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God. We have again come to the time of the year where we celebrate the birthday of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord God was sent to save humanity from the horrors of the judgment that is coming upon those who reject God. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve allowed Satan to deceive them into sinning against God, Adam and Eve were separated from God, and so was the rest of humanity. For God created us to be in fellowship with us. But Satan, in his terrible anger and hatred towards God and humanity, brought terrible destruction upon the human race. Yes, it was Satan that started it all, and God promised that he will send a Savior to bring the human back into fellowship where he is supposed to be, because this is why the human was created, to have fellowship with God and to give pleasure to God. Well, it didn't turn out too good for the human race, but God sent his only begotten Son to take care of the sin problem. And today I will teach on this interesting subject, because all over the world, religions and many non-religious people are celebrating this time of year because Jesus was born. For some reason, Satan cannot stamp out this incredible holiday, regardless how he tries. God will always have a reminder for him throughout the ages until time is finished here on this earth. Satan will be reminded of the birth of Jesus Christ. So before we get into this message today, we will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the word of God. I ask you, O Heavenly Father, that you will open people's hearts to the truth of the situation. You will anoint this message and bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. When the time came for Jesus to be born, which took 4,000 years since the promise was made to the human race that a Savior will be sent, people were almost already to the point where they had given up hope. The Romans had conquered the Jewish nation. They were slaves to the Israelis were slaves to the Romans. And the people were wondering, would this Messiah ever come? Their idea was that Messiah will come and set them free from all their enemies. They did not understand that the Messiah will come to take care of the sin problem and to get rid of the real enemy, which is Satan. And when finally he did show up, not too many were looking for him. But there were a few that were still anxiously waiting. In Luke chapter 2 in verse 8, it tells us that there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angels of God appeared unto the shepherds, which were attending the flocks by night, and they were singing this song and telling the shepherds, Fear not, for we bring you good tidings of great joy. So the question is today, how many people on the planet have received that great joy that was promised so long ago? The good tidings were brought, but how many people today understand the great joy that belongs to the human race? I want to show you how all these things came to pass and what God means by sending the Lord Jesus into this earth, and how he plans to set the captives free. It was a good plan. God took care of the sin problem once and for all. The Bible, see, it teaches us by one offering, he sanctified, he justified, he made pure forever them that belong to him. So all we need to do is turn to him. In Matthew chapter 18 in verse 11, for the Son of Man came to save that which is lost. We have to remember, regardless how religious we are, regardless what your religion you're in, how well-meaning you are in trying to keep your religion, you have to remember this verse. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost, and all of us human beings are lost, dead in trespasses and sin, with no chance of redemption except through the one that proclaims he's going to save us. It's not some religious organization. It's not you proving yourself how good you are in your daily walk. We are lost. We are separated from God, and we have to be brought back into the kingdom through what God has set up for our redemption. For the Son of Man came to save that which is lost. Listen to John chapter 3 and verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So here it is in a nutshell. God sent his Son not to condemn us, but to save us. But if we do not believe what he has for us, we will stay condemned. Not that we were so bad in our actions, but if we don't turn to him for salvation, we will stay condemned because we are separated from God. The Bible teaches us in John chapter 3 and verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We all remember the story how Moses lifted up a bronze serpent in the wilderness. For God had done something very interesting. The people, the children of Israel, were murmuring against God against the manna that he sent them. They cried out to Moses and said, "Our soul loathed this manna, this bread that you send us every day. We hate this bread already that we have to eat every day." And God became very angry, and he sent vipers and snakes amongst them, and so that they were bitten and people were dying. Then all of a sudden they cried out to Moses and to God. And God told Moses, "Lift up this bronze serpent, whosoever will look upon that serpent will not die." And this is how it is today. We are lost, dead in trespasses and sin, because we have sinned against God. In our heritage from Adam and in our nature, we sin against God. So God lifted up the Son of Man, and it tells us here very clearly, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." This is the truth about salvation. We are dead in trespasses and sin, regardless how good we are. When I grew up in a religious organization, I was taught that religious organization was my salvation. If I was true to that religion, then somehow or other, God in the end will save me. But then I studied the Word of God, and God opened my eyes and heart to the truth of what true salvation is. True salvation is not following some religious ideology. True salvation is not trying to be good and trying to somehow serve God by walking a holy walk, even though it is recommended and we should live a holy walk. But that is not what will save us. The Bible teaches us that God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So it was the precious blood of Jesus that separated us from Satan. Like the children in Egypt, we all understand and know the story. The Bible teaches us that God said to Moses, kill a lamb and take the blood and put it over the doorposts of your houses, because during the night the angel of death will come, and whosoever does not have that blood over the doorpost of his house, the firstborn in that house will die. And we know the rest of the story. The children of Israel killed and sacrificed the lamb, and they put the blood over the doorposts of their houses. And those who did that, they were saved from the enemy that came to destroy their firstborn. But in the land of Egypt, where they were disbelievers, unbelievers in God, the Bible teaches us that the cry reached out to heaven. They heard the crying all over, because every household had a person that had died during the night. And in some cases, there were two who died. So this is what God means business with this. This is what will happen. In the end, when the judgment day of God will come, the Bible teaches us those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will not face that judgment. But those who are not written in that Book of Life, they will have to be judged according to their works. And we all know that the works of a human being, according to Scripture, is nothing but filthy rags. And they will have to spend their eternity in the eternal lake of fire. But those who accept this incredible promise here, those who turn to God for that salvation by accepting Jesus as their Savior, they will spend their eternity with Jesus in heaven. Hallelujah. What an incredible gift God has given to the human race today. The gift of eternal life that'll never fade away. So I'm speaking to you, those of you who are listening to me for the first time, maybe you have never heard of the way of salvation. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost, and all the human race is lost. And he wants us to turn to him, accept the precious blood for his salvation. For in the heat of affliction, the Bible teaches us that we were not bought with silver and gold, but in the fire of affliction, he saved us from the wrath that was to come. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We need to open our hearts to this. For those of you who are not born again yet, for those of you who are not saved, you need to turn to this Savior. For tomorrow can be forever too late. For the Bible teaches us, today if you hear my voice, harden not your heart, for it can be too late tomorrow. Because there is coming a day where God will judge everyone. But those who take the blood of Jesus have been judged already, because Jesus, God, will not judge the same sinner twice. For you see, he judged the sinner at the cross of Calvary. He poured his wrath out on his only begotten Son. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. His judgment fell on his only begotten Son, and he will not judge the one who takes this incredible sacrifice for himself. God cannot judge a sinner twice. He only judges him once. And for us, Jesus was judged at the cross of Calvary. So open your heart to these incredible truths and become a blessing to yourself. Amen. The Bible talks about an interesting situation. Jesus himself says, those that receive me will receive you, and those that reject me will reject you. So if a person is out there and he hears a preacher preaching the word of God, the way of salvation, and he is rejected by these people, then for sure God also is rejected, because he said, if they reject you, they reject me. If they call me a devil, they'll call you worse. So people need to be careful on how they treat the born-again believer who brings to them the way of salvation. You can only reject those people so and so long, then God takes it to heart and says, okay, if you reject them, you also reject me. In John chapter 3, in verse 33, it says, he that has received his testimony has set his seal that God is true. If you receive the testimony that I'm preaching here, then God has set a seed on you, and you will begin to see that God is true. So a person needs to be careful that he shows respect to them that bring the message of salvation. And I don't care who it is. Is it an old man, a young child, a woman, a teenager? If they bring a message that lifts Jesus up and that proclaims that Jesus is the only salvation, if you do not accept that, if you do not respect that, then already you're stepping away from the God that saved you. In John chapter 3 in verse 36, it tells us, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. What does this scripture mean? The wrath of God abides upon him. It means that we were born dead in trespasses and sin. The wrath of God has been upon us since our existence. We need a new heart. God has to change us. We need to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. We need a new root in ourselves. The root that is within us when we're born is full of demonic activity. It is dead in trespasses and sin, the Bible teaches us. And it has to be replaced by a new root. A new spirit has to be given us. The Bible teaches us when a man becomes born again, then all things become new. And if you don't, it says the wrath of God will abide upon you. That means it'll stay upon you. It will never leave. It has never left. So regardless how good you are, regardless how religious you are, if you do not have this salvation, then the wrath of God is upon you. And once you close your eyes in death, then the wrath of God will kick in, and you will then be separated from God for the rest of eternity. But if you turn to Jesus now, then the wrath of God will lift from you. You then become God's chosen vessel. You are His. You were created by Him, and then you were saved by Him. So the Bible teaches us, come to Jesus today. Harden not your heart, for God has given only one name under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's not being a Catholic. It's not being a Mennonite. It's not being a Hutterite. You have to become a Christian. Only the Christian will enter into the kingdom of God. Nobody else. For the door is very, very tight. The Bible teaches us, small is the gate that enters into eternal life. And if you have something else besides Jesus attached to you, you will not be able to enter into that narrow gate. So open your heart to these things this Christmas, for we are fast running out of time. Jesus is coming back for His bride, and He wants you to know that He loves you. So let the Lord open your heart and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.